Well, as you can see, we're big on dads around here this morning, and today I want to take a little time to honor dads from the founder of family life, God Himself. And to do so, I want you to open your Bibles, and there's a chapter that contains four verses that are really good and timely and fitting for fathers. Ephesians chapter 6 is where I want you to turn. And while you're on your way there, let me just say a couple things that maybe stand out as obvious to you. But, you know, obviously today's Father's Day, but, you know, it's significant that we have days like Father's and Mother's Day. We don't have Parents' Day. You notice that? There's we do have Grandparents' Day, of course, but there's a Father's Day. And I was amused by the little person, a little boy who gave a little understanding of Father's Day. He said, you know, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much. Perhaps, but I don't know. If there's a new fifth wheel in my driveway this afternoon, I suppose that'll change for me. But becoming a father is truly, according to one of the most glorious interruptions. And I mean both words. I think they're well placed. Glorious interruptions in a man's life and to his routine that he will ever encounter. It was actually Bill Cosby, the humorist, who said that, and this is what he added. A new father quickly learns that his child invariably comes to the bathroom at precisely the times when he is in there, as if he needed company. And then he adds, the only way for this father to be certain of bathroom privacy now is to shave at the gas station. Maybe you felt that way some, Dad, and maybe it has never really bothered you. It seemed a blessing to you. It struck you as, wow, what a cool thing. You know, I used to be private. I used to be alone to myself, shaving, let's say, but now I have a son. I have my daughter looking up and noticing this shaving cream on my face. It's cool. Today is the day, of course, we set aside to honor dads. And I will just say at the outset, I love my dad. He's a good man. He's a strong man. He's a godly man. And there's a reason that he's on my speed dial still. Because there's numerous times in a given week as a pastor, this helps because my dad has been a pastor my whole life, so very little that I encounter he hasn't already learned from and endured or survived or dealt with. So he's on speed dial for that reason. I mean, you know, I tease sometimes that he was roommates with Moses, so he's seen it all, you know, and he's able to say, hey, Steve, why don't you try this? You know, why don't you go this direction or that direction? So it's a blessing for me, once again, to have my dad here and much of my family here this morning. I was struck, though, by something I learned this last week I didn't know, and that is that Mother's Day predates Father's Day by, maybe you knew this, 50 years. In other words, there was a Mother's Day celebration 50 years before somebody thought to put it on the calendar for dads. Which means what I'm about to say you can't just say it's just a modern problem, a modern malady. It goes back at least 50 years. What was I going to say? Well, could it be that we live in a society that seriously undervalues dads? Again, it's not just a new thing, but Maybe we live in a society that's lost its way about most other things, so it shouldn't surprise us that it has come to treat dads as optional, even unnecessary. I could go on and give you lots of data on that, but my aim this morning is to affirm fathers and to say, you know what? As I referred to him already, the Heavenly Father that we gather weekly to worship and to celebrate His Son Jesus and enjoy the fellowship of His Holy Spirit, that Father is the one that came up with this concept called dad and father. So this morning I want to capture some of that, just a little bit. The enormous influence and impact of dads, of father. And your Bible's already open to this wonderful short little paragraph from Ephesians, but it starts out, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." Now, let me stop myself for a sec. Already in a couple of verses, two or three verses, you're told, and I'm told, that we are to obey and to honor our fathers and our mothers. We're told for two reasons. One, it's the right thing to do, according to God. It's the right thing to do. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he adds, it's a practice that will be rewarded. It's not only right, it's something that he rewards. And he refers to the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And maybe you knew this, but halfway through that list of Ten Commandments delivered to Moses and then to the people of Israel, halfway through it, the fifth commandment is the commandment to honor your father and mother. Only it stands out for another reason. The first four commandments were all vertical. They had to do with God. Have no other God before you. This is the first one that goes horizontal and says, look, honor your father and mother. But this is the other reason it stands out, because it's the first commandment in the ten with a reward. I would add an irresistible reward that says it will go well with you. I don't know too many people that would say, nah, I don't need any of that stuff. And that you will enjoy a long life on this earth. Similarly, we all say, I'll take that. What do I need to do to get that? Now, someone asked, how do you spell love to children? How do children spell love? The answer came back, well, like everyone else, L-O-V-E. Actually, came the reply, children spell it T-I-M-E. Time. Says one authority, teenagers need as much time as toddlers. Now, I don't say that to insult teenagers here. I say it to stir and stimulate, principally dads this morning, but moms as well, to realize that child that wants to be brave and bold and independent, quite capable, thank you, still needs something from you. Raising, in my mind, in my judgment, a very relevant question for busy dads. Since my kids define, spell love, T-I-M-E, how do I, as a busy dad today, carry out such a calling? That's where verse 4 comes in. Look back at verse 4 and let's read on. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Two practical pieces of godly advice are being given in verse 4. The first is in the negative. Do not bruise. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Now, most of us look at that word and say, yeah, I don't want to do that. But what is that? What does it mean to exasperate? Because I'm told I should avoid doing that, and I don't like the sound of that, so develop that. What is exasperate? Well, let's talk a little bit. Let's break that down a little bit. It's the stuff of needling a child. It's what happens when a child is provoked by a dad, because these words are written to dads. It's what happens when a parent, when a dad rides a son or a daughter, rides them and doesn't back off, stays firm and strong and continues to ride them, causing them to want to go, well, you know, it's no use. I cannot please you. And it's exasperating to a child that wants to give up. It's the taking the wind out of their sails. This exasperating. And this is obviously a potential that dads have, and it's something to avoid. So what are some of the common ways that we exasperate a child? I made a list. There's lots more ways than this. But it's always blaming, finding fault, and seldom, if ever, praising. Saying, there you go. See, you did it again. And it's blaming instead of praising. Or it's inconsistent or partial sort of discipline that we carry out in our children's lives. It's where capricious comes from. It's like, dad's reading a paper, watching the sports or something, and there's a discipline that needs to happen, and it's the dad that isn't really paying attention to the details and just simply kind of wakes up and the question is in front of him, what should happen here? Maybe by his wife. What discipline? Restrictions for life sounds good, you know. It's not really precise. It's not really specific, and it's definitely not redemptive. It's being a promise breaker. And I do this. I need to repeat myself. I tell you this from time to time. As a student of the scriptures, I tend to read the Bible and say, why is that there? And then I ask some more sort of sideline questions. In this particular case, my questions were, why is this written to fathers only? Okay, because it's all about dads. What's the deal here? I mean, I wondered, what's up here? Was it an omission? Maybe a misprint along the way. Some translator forgot to get the mother and father piece plugged in here. I even thought this, maybe this is Paul with, he's got a bad dad memory. And so he's the human writer. He's the one that was given the assignment by God to pen these words. So maybe he had a bad dad. None of those possible explanations work for me. And then it struck me, well, could it have something to do with the fact that most moms, there are exceptions to what I'm about to say, but most moms are kind of hardwired to nurture. It's sort of not necessarily autopilot, but it just comes quite naturally. That's why 1 Thessalonians 2 describes the virtues of a dad as being firm and strong, but a mom as being tender, caring for your children as a nursing mother. Right? That's a beautiful picture of tenderness. Less likely for sure that a mom would exasperate a child. Here's another fact check for us fathers this morning. Dads are powerful. Dads are very powerful. We possess a commanding authority and influence. It's who we are. And it's also true of us dads that we tend to notice and praise performance and achievement. We're maybe driven the same way. It's part of the work, part of the world we live in. And so we see it and we affirm it when we see it in our children. When they perform well, we praise. But when they don't, we either criticize or we get silent. And it has an exasperating effect. I would say to that, be careful, dads. Be careful. Even a frown. If you think of a frown with no words spoken, it can crush. I was the youngest of three children, and every Sunday we would be in church like we are this morning. And only in my case, my father was preaching. And so my brother and I would usually sit together and be somewhere as far in the back as possible, if not the balcony. Our church had a balcony in it. And we would be there, and the added advantage from our perspective is my mother, you might wonder, where was she? She was in the choir. So you got a dad preaching and a mother in the choir and pretty much orphaned kids out here, just carrying on, having a good time. And, of course, there needed to be some correction given on a frequent basis. Of course, it was never toward my sister because girls get a pass on things like this. But anyway... it was my brother and I. And to display the difference, my father, with just the name, could look at my brother and say, Glenn. And my brother would, yeah. Don't do that, Glenn. Okay, no, never again. My dad would look at me and say, Steve. And I would lean forward and say, what? See how it works? So... sometimes the frown itself is enough to correct the behavior. Other times, it comes right back at you, Dad. So we go from a negative. Fathers, don't take the breath out of it. Don't suck the wind out of your son or daughter's sail. We go to the positive, the second half of verse 4. Don't exasperate your children, but instead bless them. Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Nurture them to maturity. Now, don't forget, this is written to fathers. For those of us that make the mistake of assuming no moms teach, they're the ones that do the nitty-gritty of teaching, the Bible would say, not so. Dad, this has your name on it. Bring them up. Your job, Dad. In the training, in the instruction, that's your role. And it's one that we need to recognize. This isn't just the job of others. The kids that God has blessed us with need us to acknowledge them every chance we get. They need us to teach them and to train them. this is about affirming a child's presence, not just their performance. There's a distinction here. It's about, let me use a word, and I'm not turning this message psychological. This is very theologically true. It's about validating a child every chance a dad gets to do so. So you might say, well, what does that look like? How do I validate Carrie Ann, Trevor, Carissa? I like this list. Two or three ideas. One, every chance I get, I affirm you matter to me. You matter to me. I don't have to have them do something good or right or accomplished. It's automatic. You matter to me. And another one is, you're good enough. I want them to know that their value to me is not performance-based. You are good enough. And a third, and it's a huge one, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of who you are. Gary Smalley and John Trent wrote a book that's worth twice its price called The Blessing. And they essentially bring into focus the reality that it's a dad's job to convey such things. I'm proud of you. I notice you. I acknowledge you. I affirm who you are. And when dads do that, when they validate their kids, they're setting them on a course for success. And more importantly, for bulletproofing them later in life. Because if a child doesn't get that from a dad, principally, preferably a mom and a dad, then they start to do unnatural, at times immoral, and on some occasions illegal things later in life to backfill that void. See how it works? So as a dad, that's the focus. That's the thing I'm up to. And this morning I want to surprise a couple of dads. I've asked a couple of kids. One a growing young person, a teenager, one a young adult woman, to talk about how their dad validated them. And the first one is a young man that's seated right down here in the front. Jamie George is going to join me. And neither of these dads had a clue this was going to happen. Jamie, come on up here, good buddy. First of all, let me acknowledge your T-shirt. The Black Mamba, right?
Yeah.
That's Kobe Bryant. Okay, so you were validated growing up.
Yeah.
By that man right there, Bob. Tell us about that.
So if you know my dad, you know he loves sports. And so, of course, that's always rubbed off on me. And so, like, we play a lot of basketball and baseball and just in the driveway. But he also, like, coached, like, my whole life, just coaching baseball teams, bringing the community together. And just everybody always loved my dad. And so it's like every time I see my old baseball friends, it's, oh, how's your dad doing? How's your dad doing? Is he still coaching? And so just there, just showing my love, showing him how much he loves me. He puts other things aside to, like, just go out and play basketball with me. We play a ton of one-on-one basketball. And, sorry, this is really scary. Now look at this many people. Jeez. And so he, like if he's got a meeting to go to and I want to play basketball, he'll, like, try to throw in a quick game of just one-on-one before he runs off to his meeting, or just putting the TV clicker down at halftime to come play. He spent hundreds of hours just working on my baseball swing, trying to make me a better player. And it's more than that. It's like taking me camping. He took a week off work just to take me camping. And it was just me and him just, like, putting up the tent and then taking it down. And it was so great, just alone time with him. And we got to know each other. Like, not that we didn't know each other, but it's just like a whole week of car rides and sleeping in the same tent, like, every night. And so, it was fun. And so, like, that's one of my great memories of just, like, me and my dad. And then it's, like, just growing me as a, wanting me to be a godly young man. He always says, what would Jesus do? And so, like, I can't stand that phrase because it just annoys me. Because I'm not Jesus, but... So that's what he always says to me, and it's so true. And I love you, Dad. Happy Father's Day.
Wow. Thanks, buddy. Nicely done. Nicely done. I know you love sports. You just told us about it, and at least basketball and baseball. And if you were still here, in fact, I'll come your way. Let's say when you swung and missed, what'd your dad do?
He would tell me how I did it wrong.
Jamie, that does not fit with the theme of the morning. Okay, let's switch sports. How about basketball? You missed the shot. What happened?
I don't look at him when I miss.
Oh, goodness. Okay. I'm going to suggest you switch sports altogether. Fishing might work for you, but I'm going to come past this young man. You're wonderful. And there's another dad here about to be surprised. Stephanie, step up here, would you? And join me down the row here. And Denny, your dad, is in the rearview mirror. Come on up. Can I hand you that?
Sure.
Yeah, come on, step on over. And your dad, Denny, and your mom's here, Linda, and your special man is right.
It's Alex.
Alex is. I was trying to figure the label. We could change all
you
that
can
right
say
now.
Boyfriend.
Okay. All right. That's good. Boyfriend. There we go. Stephanie, you're. I called you, and I was very impressed with how enthusiastic you were. Jamie was too. It was really cool that these weren't people that I, you know, okay, I'll do it. You know, this was you saying, "Oh man, I have so many stories to tell." How did your daddy validate you?
My dad really has been, I consider him like my biggest fan, I guess. Even from a really young age, he was really good at affirming my strengths. Like even when I was a little girl, he would say like, "This is a really good drawing, you know, you're a really good artist," or like, "I see this in you like that I don't see in a lot of other kids, you know, and I think you're really good at this." And he's just always been really good at affirming me and my sister as well. And I think that that's just really important, and it's helped me feel confident in those strengths and has helped me realize that even when I feel kind of unsure of myself, I think about the person my dad thinks I am, and that makes me feel good enough. And that makes me think of God, and our Heavenly Father thinks that we're good enough. So even if we feel down on a day or no matter what the world tells us, that's that we are good enough.
Wow, that's huge. Can I keep you right here for a second? You're also training to be in the dental field, mm-hmm. and not surprising, and your father's a dentist.
Mm-hmm.
So something about that also, is there a connection there that you just, maybe when an exam is tough or a procedure, do you feel sort of like your dad's been the guy, the go-to guy, "Dad, how do I pull this tooth," or "How do I do this," or...
Sort of, yeah. I got into the dental field, obviously, watching my dad and seeing how much he loved his profession. I know he's really, really proud of me and is happy to share a career with me, but he also has told me, like, no matter what you do, I'm going to support you and I'm going to love you,
wow.
And, like, even if you don't choose to go into dentistry. And I think that kind of helped me find in myself that, yes, this is what I want to do. It's not what he wants me to do. I mean, it is, but it's really what I want to do. And he's always been there. If I want to talk about school, he's always really, really receptive and really wants to hear what I have to say. But at the same time, if I don't want to talk about it, he's okay with that too. And he knows that when I'm ready, I'll come to him.
Wow. So I hear unconditional in your words that, you know, my dad's going, "Look, I value you. Whether you're a dental person or pick your other profession, you know, and that's really cool. And I know most of you picked up on this piece for you. How'd you put it again? Put you on the spot. I wanted to be my dad's image of me, or
if I feel, you know, down on myself or unsure, I think of who he thinks I am, because he is just really good at, I mean, he's not afraid to tell me, like, "I like the way you did your makeup today," or "I like the way you talk to this person." Like, there's just the little things. Every day he affirms me in what I do.
That's so good. And has he ever told you he really likes your dental work? I guess that would be his dental work, right? I don't know.
Well, I've never had a cavity, so.
See, there you go.
He's never really had to do any
okay. That's huge. Thank you. And I love the tie-in that you gave lastly to the whole idea that you're, you know, it's what your Heavenly Father is like too. When you're down, when we're down on ourselves, as we get sometimes, it's our Heavenly Father saying, "Look, let me hold you close because I love you and I value you unconditionally." And that's what you saw your dad do. I know he wants a hug, so I'll let you go
that
way.
Happy Father's Day.
That's great. Thank you so much. That's wonderful. There's a dad wanting the microphone. Good sense of humor too, Denny. That's very cool. That's very cool. Let me just point out one more piece, and we'll worship and respond to God this morning. In verse 4, you notice this too. This is also sort of how validation works in one of the bumpy times called discipline. It's the unfun part of being a father. When you got to correct, when you got to confront and challenge. But we're to train, do you see that? Bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We're to train our children, dads, with appropriate levels of discipline. The word discipline, bring them up in the training or discipline and instruction of the Lord, is the exact same word in Hebrews chapter 12 to describe a demonstration, a practical demonstration of God's love. Those whom God loves, he, finish it for me, disciplines, says Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. So that means things like appropriate. It means we don't overreact. When there's correction that's needed, you don't use a cannon to kill a mosquito, right? You do it appropriately, and you bring the discipline there. And may I add this too, that you say unconditional love things when you've got to be the dad that is doing the discipline. Unconditional love is always needed by our children. And they always need to hear those words, but never more importantly than when the discipline is underway. Which means things like you remind your child, you know something, there's nothing you could accomplish that would make me love you more. Nothing you could accomplish that would make me love you more, except maybe winning the lottery and sharing the loot with me or something. It's unconditional love on the upside. And the downside works as well. Don't forget, nothing you fail at, nothing. Lose a job, fail class, get a ticket, call me from jail. I mean, seriously, net it out. Nothing will cause me to love you less. I loved both of you for what you had to share here today. And Stephanie, can I just reach into something you demonstrate for us? You're not a child. You're an adult child, okay? And it punctuates this final point. We never outgrow the need for that from our fathers. Never. My mentor in counseling was a man named Norm Wright years ago in California, and he wrote 75 books or something on counseling in every form. Probably one of his best books ever, and it was read by my wife before I saw it and read it. I thought it was just a book for women. It's called Always Daddy's Girl. And as she read it, she was powerfully impressed with how her father, as an adult woman, continues to influence and reach into her life and have impact on her spirit. And the reality is, she said, you know, you want to understand me more? Read this book. Many years ago, she told me that. And she said, and while you're reading it, realize your power, not only in our daughters, but in our son. And boy, did that set me on a course. You might call this unrealistic, but I don't want to look back on my life and go, kicking dirt clods down a road, wishing, wishing, wishing. No regret. I want to validate my kids. You're good enough. And I think they'll see a better picture of God because of that. Let's fold our Bibles closed this morning and have the lights come down for a little bit here as we get a better picture of God. What an amazing God to put together a plan like this. And as was shared by Stephanie and Jamie a little bit ago, there's a picture of God, the Father, our Heavenly Father, that gets a little clearer for us when we have dads that do it the way God has designed it. In a moment, the guys are going to lead us again in some worship, and I'm going to invite you to make your way to the tables. And as you do, I want you to do a couple things before you take communion today. Can I encourage you, first of all, to thank God the Father? That we live in a real world. I loved how Danny said it. You know, I want to meet that man. Hey, we're imperfect. There's no dad that did it right completely, except one. And if you don't know him, he's the God that comes to you when you're down and says, you know something? I want to raise you up with a picture I have of you. You may not even believe it right now because you're so low. You're so hurt. You're so sort of broken. But would you make your way to the table and realize as you do that in order for him to say that to you and to me, it cost him his son, Jesus, which is what the bread and the cup are all about, to remind us of Jesus. And then if you're a dad today and you make your way to the table, maybe go with your kids if they're here with you. And there is a piece of regret somewhere in the past, maybe a lot of it. You can't go back and change that. We know that. But you can meet a God today who says, you know something? I'm into setting people free. I don't want you to work just sort of out from the pile of guilt any longer. I want you to be set free, unshackled from this day forward. And may I suggest to you at the table, just whisper words like, God, I wish I could do it over again, but I believe you today that you want to set me on a new course. My kids are grown and gone even maybe. Help me to demonstrate in any way I can, every chance I get, that they matter to me. God, thank you for being here today. This is the paradigm. The unimprovable picture of what it means to be a father. I pray beyond everything I've spoken from your word this morning, beyond what has been shared in testimony, I pray that there would be a hunger awakened inside of us, that we would get to know you, our Heavenly Father. Because that's not just going to make me a better dad, that's going to change everything about me. For your glory, Jesus, we pray.